Welcome to Audio 5, Freedom Around Marriage and Gender Roles. This is Tara Chambers, and let's dive in. Marriage is part of every culture, as far as I know. Therefore, it's very tribal. I'm going to bring up lots of outdated issues around marriage because, as I said before, it's the hidden stuff that affects us most, even if we have no resonance with it on a conscious level. And just be clear, I'm not trying to encourage everyone to get divorced, even if I'm so glad that that possibility exists. This is merely to release all around marriage that is not in alignment with your higher self. So you are free to create the marriage that truly brings you joy, and you're free to say no to walking down the aisle. Marriage has so much tradition around it because it has existed for eons. And while we have changed and have the internet now, lots of marriage traditions are still living in ourselves, making decisions for us. Speaking of tradition, let's take a look at what the Broadway show Fiddler on the Roof has to say. Who day and night must scramble for a living, feed a wife and children, say his daily prayers, and who has the right, as master of the house, to have the final word at home? The papa. So clearly, the rules are in place. It's papa's job to work nonstop to financially support everyone else in the family. This can cause many men to feel that they have to do whatever will make the most money, regardless of what their passion is. It also causes fathers to not be okay if their sons choose to do something that is not safe or normal. This also affects women because if the woman had a passion and a career that she wanted to do, it would not be okay because that's the man's department. This program still shows up with some men preferring that their wives do not work at home because the only reason your wife would work is if you weren't successful, if you didn't make enough money as a man. So these programs are still affecting many to this day. It is also a patriarchal society, and the papa has the final say at home no matter what. Whatever he says goes. That means everyone else needs to ask for his permission before they say or do diddly squat. If what he says goes against your heart, too bad, he is boss. This is not what I call a sovereign state. So let's hear what the mamas have to say. I tried to sing this and the range is just too high for me. So this is what they say. Who must know the way to make a proper home? A quiet home, a kosher home. Who must raise the family and run the home? So papa's free to read the holy book, the mama. So as you can see, it's all about taking care of everyone else in the family. Cooking, cleaning, washing clothes, you name it, she does it. There is no mention of what her passion is. Now, if motherhood is her passion, then she's good to go. But if she has other passions that she would like to explore, that is not always okay. Well, unless her husband gave her permission to explore such a passion. This sets the stage for the tribal program. It's not okay to put yourself first. For both papa and mama, honestly. The papa takes care of everyone financially, and the mama does everything else so that he has time to read the holy book, another part of his duty. And now for the sons. They say, at 3, I started Hebrew school. At 10, I learned a trade. I hear they've picked a bride for me. I hope she's pretty. The sons. So the sons are being trained at a young age to fulfill their duties as a scholar and a money machine. They also don't have choice when it comes to their partner because it's all about what the matchmaker and their father feels is best. as for their future wife. Oh, and yes, you have to get married. A pretty face helps. Sounds superficial, but when you don't get to really know the person that well, there is not much else to go on. And the message from the doctors is, and who does mama teach to mend and tend and fix, preparing me to marry whoever papa picks? The daughters. So basically, the daughters are being groomed for marriage and taking care of their future families. And yes, you have to have kids. Not wanting kids would be odd. You would definitely not fit in with the tribe. And it's also not okay to want to read a book. Hava, the third out of five daughters, was always getting into trouble for reading when it wouldn't help her land a better husband. Only guys can read. The daughter's biggest fear and concern is usually getting stuck with some man who has money but is 20 or so years older than her. Love is never part of the equation. Neither is their happiness. This is a business deal to make sure all goes well. The great news in Fiddler is that the three oldest daughters all break the rules. Seidel, who is supposed to be married to a much older wealthy butcher, begs her father to release her of his agreement as she will be unhappy for the rest of her life. He eventually gives her permission to marry the poor tailor who she truly loves. Huddle, the second daughter, tells her father that she is marrying a poor scholar and she is only asking for his blessing, not his permission. Tevye, her father, puts up a fight at first, but eventually gives in. Hava marries someone who is not Jewish against her father's will. She is totally crossing the line. As a matter of fact, she marries one of the men who forced them off their land. Tevye is beside himself. He struggles as he loves Hava, but he can't betray the tribe by allowing this horrible catastrophe. Hava stays true to her heart and hopes that he will come around in time. Tevye struggles with all these new shifts and his lack of authority and power, but eventually opens up his heart to new possibilities and even wishes the best for Hava. Let's take a look at how women have been regarded as property in marriage. Women grow up with the father ruling the house, only to be handed over as a piece of property to her husband during a marriage ceremony. The father at a traditional wedding says, "I do," when asked who gives this woman. She then becomes a property of another man who rules her new future house slash family. No wonder Queen Elizabeth didn't want to get married and give up her sovereign life. And contrasting with women are property in marriage, we have a tribal program that says marriage gives women a place in society. Women are as worthy as their husbands are, ergo Mrs. John Doe. It always makes me cringe when women refer to themselves with a man's name. Even though they are worthy and have a place in society, ironically, they no longer have any identity aside from the wife of John Doe, which says nothing about who they are and everything about their husband's name. To this day, many women buy into this program, "You need a man," so that they feel that they are worthy of a place in society. Jo March in Little Women was ahead of her time. She had no interest in ever getting married and turns down her first proposal from the boy next door with a, "No, I don't ever want to get married." Even though they are such good friends, he doesn't believe her because he can't get out of the tribal program. Of course you want to be married. And he literally says to her, "Oh, you'll marry, just not me," as his heart takes it personally. Jo adores him, but she simply doesn't want to marry him. She only wants to be a published author. Her books are constantly getting rejected by New York City publishers as they constantly tell her, "Go home. Women are supposed to make babies." Which brings me to another tribal program. that you are only a real woman if married with kids, as if there's any sense to that. And many women feel like failures, even though they have amazing successful lives, because they don't have the cultural tribal image of the perfect woman married with a kid. Notice how it's okay for a husband to get married and not want to have kids, but it's not okay for a woman to choose marriage with no kids. Something must be wrong with her, because that's her role and duty in life, to be a baby machine. In the new Netflix series called Most Beautiful Thing, it demonstrates tribal programs around marriage in four different couples. The Netflix series takes place in 1959 in Brazil. Malu, a young wealthy woman, is now single after her husband left her. Her father tries to hook her up with a respectable man, but she only has interest in opening up a music club in Rio, as she loves live music. Her business partner is a poor black woman. Whoa, definitely stepping out of her place in society. Her father financially kicks her out of the tribe as she pursues this foolish passion of hers. She is a mother. She should not be so selfish, and she should find a husband and do what is best for her son. Which brings me to a very popular tribal program around kids. Kids come first in marriage. Parents are to sacrifice their joy so that their kids get what is best for them. This is really backwards, because when the parents are happy, that's when the happiness flows over to the kids. When parents sacrifice their joy, that creates an inner resentment and anger, and that's what the kids feel. And it's not a good scene for anyone. Generally speaking, when the parents are happy and they put themselves first, the whole family is happier. Lija is married to a man who will not allow her to sing. Her singing is the only thing that truly brings her joy. And when her husband finds out that she sings at Mala's music club, he beats her on more than one occasion. She is at first caught in the tribal rule that she believes she has to obey her husband and do what pleases him. She has to be a good wife, which in this case means she has to deny her singing, her passion, what brings her joy. In time, her friends help her see a new perspective, and she makes a new decision regarding her life, one that thankfully puts herself first. Teresa has an interesting marriage ahead of her time. Her husband has already gone outside of the tribe. He allows her to work and have a career as a journalist. He completely supports her 100%. Her husband's brother, however, doesn't support him. He questions him whether he is making enough money or not, because he can't understand why else he would allow his wife to have a job. Teresa, however, experiences lots of sexism at work. Women are paid less, their work is devalued, they are thought to be second class and not as smart as men. Teresa's husband had previously fallen in love with a poor black woman before he met her, and his family forbid him to be in that relationship with her, and even held back letters to her from Paris so that this relationship was halted for good. This show also demonstrates how men's dreams are taken seriously, whereas women's dreams are thought of as crazy, foolish ideas. Women have to prove themselves first before they are taken seriously. So what if we could release patriarchal programs from ourselves? How would women make bolder decisions free of needing to apologize or explain it to others? What if men had permission to cry and express their sadness? And what if women had permission to express their anger and get loud when appropriate? What if women's voices were validated as men's were? What if men and women were considered equals, who create a great yin and yang together? What if we were resonant on a cellular level with worthiness simply because we were born, not needing to be married or have kids or married to person X? What if we all knew that we had a special purpose on this planet? What if women have permission to shine all their light, their talents, their brains, their voice within their marriage? What if marriage was no longer a one-man show with wife? What if it truly became a duet of equality and love? What if both sexes had freedom to live their passion? What if both sexes had permission to create their own unique rules from their heart that were in alignment with their higher self? What if the husband could be an actor and the wife be a lawyer or a physics teacher and all be okay? What if the dad could be a stay-at-home dad if he chose and not feel like a wimp? What if women were equally supportive of each other's decisions to be a working mom or a stay-at-home mom? What if men didn't always have to be on top? And I'm not talking about just sexually, but financially, needing to be taller and stronger. What if men could cheer on their partner's successes free of feeling threatened by women? What if women had permission to earn more money than their husbands? What if the patriarchal paradigm shifted to equality between the divine masculine and divine feminine energies? How would marriage experience a whole new world, if I can quote the Broadway show Aladdin? And what if we had permission to marry whomever we wanted and whatever sex we wanted? What if we could heal the patriarchy energy around marriage so that all men could easily step into the Aladdin energy, such as, tell me, princess, now when did you last let your heart decide? So that both men and women can follow their hearts and what brings them joy without needing a genie with only three wishes of joy. How many marriages would thrive in that kind of energy? And what if we could heal the patriarchy energy so that all men and all women were in a free space of no one to tell us no or where to go? Just pure freedom, no rules. Let's jump on that magic carpet ride and create those sovereign cells of freedom in our bodies now. See you in a whole new world in the next audio.